Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Amos. We are in chapter 5 and 6 today. Amos chapters 5 and 6. This is God's word. "Listen to this message that I am singing for you, a lament, house of Israel. She has fallen. Virgin Israel will never rise again. She lies abandoned on her land with no one to raise her up. For the Lord God says, the city that marches out 1,000 strong will have only 100 left. And the one that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left in the house of Israel. For the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel or go to Gilgal or journey to Beersheba, for Gilgal will certainly go into exile and Bethel will come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, for he will spread like fire throughout the house of Joseph. It will consume everything with no one at Bethel to extinguish it. Those who turn justice into wormwood also throw righteousness to the ground. The one who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns darkness into dawn and darkens day into night, who summons the water of the sea and pours it out over the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. He brings destruction on the strong and it falls on the fortress. They hate the one who convicts the guilty at the city gate, and they despise the one who speaks with integrity. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and exact a grain tax from him, you will never live in the houses of cut stone you have built. You will never drink the wine from the lush vineyards you have planted. For I know your crimes are many and your sins innumerable. They oppress the righteous, take a bribe, and deprive the poor of justice at the city gates. Therefore, those who have insight will keep silent at such a time, for the days are evil. Pursue good and not evil, so that you may live, and the Lord, the God of armies, will be with you as you have claimed. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the city gate. Perhaps the Lord, the God of armies, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord, the God of armies, the Lord says, there will be wailing in all the public squares. They will cry out in anguish in all the streets. The farmer will be called on to mourn, and professional mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards. For I will pass among you, the Lord has spoken. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. What will the day of the Lord be for you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be like a man who flees from a lion only to have a bear confront him. He goes home and rests his hand against the wall only to have a snake bite him. Won't the day of the Lord be darkness rather than light? Even gloom without any brightness in it? I despise your feasts. I can't stand the stench of your solemn assemblies. Even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I have no regard for your fellowship offerings of fattened cattle. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice flow like water, and righteousness like an unfailing stream. House of Israel, was it sacrifices and grain offerings that you presented to me during the 40 years in the wilderness? But you have taken up Sakut, your king, and Kaiwan, your star god, images you've made for yourselves. So I will send you into exile beyond Damascus. The Lord, the God of armies, is his name. He has spoken. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the hill of Samaria, the notable people in this first of the nations, those the house of Israel comes to. Cross over to Calna and see. Go from there to the great Hamath. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Is their territory larger than yours? You dismiss any thought of the evil day and bring in a reign of violence. They lie on beds inlaid with ivory, sprawled out on their couches, and dine on lambs from the flock and calves from the stall. They improvise songs to the sound of the harp and invent their own musical instruments like David. They drink wine by the bowlful and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they will now go into exile as the first of the captives, and the feasting of those who sprawl out will come to an end. The Lord God has sworn by himself. This is the declaration of the Lord, the God of armies. I loathe Jacob's pride and hate his citadels. So I will hand over the city and everything in it. And if there are 10 men left in one house, they will die. A close relative and burner will remove his corpse from the house. He will call to someone in the inner recesses of the house. Any more with you? That person will reply, none. Then he will say, silence, because the Lord's name must not be invoked. The Lord commands, the large house will be smashed to pieces, and the small house to rubble. Do horses gallop on the cliffs? Does anyone plow there with oxen? Yet you have turned justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. You who rejoice over Lodabar and say, didn't we capture Karnaim for ourselves by our own strength? But look, I am raising up a nation against you, house of Israel. This is the declaration of the Lord, the God of armies. And they will oppress you from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of the Arabah. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
This is not a series of happy ditties. This is not a compilation of good time messages for people who want to feel uplifted. This is the word of the Lord, spoken to people who were still very religious. They had festivals even unto the Lord, but they did it their way. They also worshiped the star gods, the planets, all kinds of things that the pagans had worshiped, and God had used their ancestors as his instrument to wipe out those who worshiped such things. They had not only seen that God punishes idolatry, their ancestors had been God's instrument in punishing idolatry. They had not only seen that God punishes immorality, they had been God's instruments in punishing immorality. They not only knew that God had given his law and said, this is right, this is wrong, you are to bring justice. You're never to judge with partiality. You never take bribes. God had established his law. They had his law. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. But even as they praised God and offered up sacrifices to him, they violated what he commanded over and over and over again. So, in chapter 5, he says there are a bunch of people who are looking in the wrong place. They travel to Bethel. They travel to Gilgal. They travel to Beersheba, trying to have a holy place where they can meet with God. But the problem is, they're not seeking God himself. God says, seek me. It's not about geography. The psalmist says, if I ascend to the heights, God is there. If I go down to the depths, God is there. You can't get away from him. I was talking just yesterday with someone about a person who has been taught the truth, but is really struggling with their faith right now because they have a little problem with the idea of hell. That's one of the things that bothers them, is the idea that a loving, omnipotent, omniscient God could let people go to hell. How can that be? If God is just, how can there be a hell? Well, if there was no hell, where would be the justice? You cannot possibly invoke a value system and talk about right and wrong if there is no supreme being. It is absolute nonsense. If there is no God, then it doesn't matter if you do works of charity or you're a serial killer or you just make a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Because there is no moral value to anything. If you and I are just highly evolved slime, if that's all we are, the result of eons of time and chance, if that's all we are, then there is no right and wrong. And you need to remember that when someone steals your bicycle. You can't say, hey, that's not fair. Hey, that's not right. Whatever happens to you, that's just life. Welcome to the planet. But you see, there is a God who created all things, and the nature of creation constantly bears witness to that reality. We are surrounded by evidence that God exists, and the God who exists hasn't left us to grope in the dark and wonder what he's like. He has revealed himself not only through creation, but through his word. And that's one of the things that Amos talked about. He said, God says what he's going to do. God gives us his word. He speaks through his prophets. He gives people warning, and he's warning you right now. Judgment is coming. Repent. In chapter 5, verse 14, pursue good and not evil so that you may live, and the Lord, the God of armies, will be with you as you've claimed. Hate evil and love good. Establish justice in the city gate. Perhaps the Lord, the God of armies, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. While there's time, repent. Humble yourself, therefore. Humble yourself before God. Repent of your pride and call upon him for mercy, because even death will not be able to provide you an escape from the God who is God. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And so don't think that you can just refuse God and then you'll die and get away from it all. No. Every single one of us, when we die, will stand before him. And the only hope for any of us is the mercy and grace that we find in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. God says, come to me, you who are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't let the devil con you into hating the only God who is God, so that you end up suffering with him instead of enjoying the presence of the Lord forever. So, Amos warns. He says, back in verse 4 of chapter 5, the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Verse 6, seek the Lord and live. God is the one who made the stars. So to worship the stars instead of their creator, how utterly foolish. And yet that is what these folks were doing. Over in verse 26 of chapter 5, it's talking about pagan gods having to do with astrology that they were worshiping. Chapter 5, verse 19, it will be like a man who flees from a lion only to have a bear confront him. He goes home and rests his hand against the wall only to have a snake bite him. God's saying, you can't get away from judgment. Okay? But wouldn't that be a nice little comic sequence? A guy encounters a lion and it's like, oh! And he runs the other way and, oh, there's a bear. And finally, he breathlessly arrives at home and leans against the wall and is bitten by a snake. Okay? God says, you're not going to get away from me. There's no place you can go to get away from God. Where are you going to go? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Well, we're going to take a stand. He's omnipotent. He has all power. What kind of twit thinks that somehow we can make a stand against God? Well, we're going to show him. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, those who feel secure on the hill of Samaria, the notable people in this first of nations, those the house of Israel comes to. He says there are people in society who think not only is our culture the greatest culture on earth, but we are the greatest people within our culture. Okay? I tremble when I see, I don't physically start shaking, but it troubles me deeply when I see American pride driving around on the bumper sticker of somebody's vehicle. That's the last thing we need. Well, don't you believe that we are an exceptional nation? Yes, I do. We are exceptionally blessed. We have an extraordinary history. And therefore, to whom much is given, of the same shall much be required. And if our attitude is, God, we are amazed by your blessings, help us to be good stewards and to use what you've given us in order to bring you glory, God will answer that prayer. But if our attitude, like these people described in chapter 6, is, hey, I got this by hard work. I did this myself. We conquered that group over there because we've got military discipline. We did that ourselves. You haven't realized it, but you're on the edge of a cliff. At best. Let me tell you something. God hates arrogance. And God hates injustice and the oppression of the poor. And many of the programs that our government has implemented in this country have become a political tool for oppressing the poor. America's war on poverty was declared in the 1960s, and the poor lost. Understand? Because when you cultivate dependency, you're not helping people. It's addictive and destructive. And it may make people feel better for a while, but the long-term effect is devastation. Why would politicians want people to be dependent on the government? Because then they'll vote for whoever promises them the most goodies. Amos is talking about the fact that there were people who were exploiting other people and that it makes God angry. So whether it's this group or it's this group, if they're not working for justice, they're offensive to God. And God says, we not only need to love what is good, we need to hate what is evil. I just want to ask you, are there some things in your life that you know are displeasing to the Lord, you know that they're sinful, but you don't hate them? You don't hate them, you kind of love them. God says, love what is good, hate what is evil. Let me tell you, the consequence of evil is death. America right now has stories in the news about flesh-eating bacteria that has caused some people to lose large sections of bodily tissue, like a 6 by 8 inch section of thigh muscle. But they're hoping they saved his life. Scarier stories for some people are those who went swimming in the ocean and ended up with the flesh-eating bacteria, and they were dead within 48 hours. Some, it took a little longer to die. And bit by bit, the doctors worked desperately to save them, but they couldn't, and they're dead. Pastor Wood, why are you telling us this? Because I want you to understand something. First of all, our only security is in the Lord. Secondly, there's a lot of scary stuff out there, so you need to be careful. Thirdly, you better be prepared to die. All of us, sooner or later, are going to leave this life and stand before God. And He is the judge, and He looks at our hearts. You may say, well, I've never killed anybody. When I do evangelism with people, I often use the two diagnostic questions from Evangelism Explosion. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that you have eternal life? Second, if you were to stand before God and He would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? It never ceases to amaze me how many people think they're going to get into heaven because they've tried to live a good life. They know they're not perfect, but they've never killed anybody. But I'll tell you something. When we say we've never killed anybody, Jesus says, have you ever hated anyone? Because if you hate, you're a murderer at heart.
Well, I've never committed adultery. I've always resisted that. I've never committed adultery.
Well, that's good. Have you ever lusted after another person? Because if so, you're an adulterer at heart. You see, it is no mystery to me as to why there is a hell. What is astounding is that God would love sinners enough to send His Son. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. God came to rescue us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.